The Gospel reaches Samaria and Ethiopia. This chapter is based on Acts 8. After the death of Stephen, a relentless persecution arose against the believers in Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Saul made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Later he said about this cruel work, "I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things against the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison, by punishing them often in all the synagogues, I tried to make them blaspheme. I also cast my vote against them when they were being condemned to death." Acts 26, verse 9 to 11, NRSV. At this time of danger, Nicodemus came forward and fearlessly declared his faith in the Savior. Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. As he had witnessed Christ's wonderful works, the conviction had fastened on his mind that this was the one sent by God. Too proud to acknowledge his sympathy with the Galilean teacher openly, he had gone to Jesus for a secret interview. Jesus unfolded to him his mission to the world, yet Nicodemus had still hesitated. For 3 years there was little apparent fruit, but in the Sanhedrin council, he had repeatedly defeated schemes to destroy Christ. When Christ had finally been lifted up on the cross, Nicodemus remembered the words spoken to him in the night interview. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." John 3, verse 14. And he saw in Jesus the world's Redeemer. With Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus had borne the expense of Jesus' burial. The disciples had been afraid to show themselves openly as Christ's followers. But Nicodemus and Joseph, rich and honored men, had come boldly to do for their dead master what the poor disciples would have found impossible to do. Their wealth and influence had protected them, to a great extent, from the evil intentions of the priests and rulers. Nicodemus no longer cautious and questioning. Now Nicodemus came forward to defend the infant church. He encouraged the faith of the disciples and used his wealth to help sustain the church at Jerusalem and advance the work. Those who had treated him with reverence now scorned him, and he became poor, yet he never wavered in defending his faith. The persecution gave a great push to the work of the gospel. The ministry in Jerusalem had been successful, and there was danger that the disciples would linger there too long, forgetting the Savior's instruction to go to all the world. Instead of educating new converts to carry the gospel to those who had not heard it, they were in danger of taking a course that would lead the believers to be satisfied with what they had already accomplished. God permitted persecution to come to scatter his representatives where they could work for others. Driven from Jerusalem, the believers went everywhere preaching the word. When persecution scattered them, they went out filled with missionary zeal. They knew they held in their hands the bread of life for a starving world, and the love of Christ impelled them to break this bread to all who were in need. Wherever they went, they healed the sick and preached the gospel to the poor. Philip, one of the seven deacons, was among those driven from Jerusalem. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. There was great joy in that city. Christ's message to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well had borne fruit. The woman had gone to the men of the city, saying, "Could this be the Christ?" They went with her, heard Jesus, and believed on him. For 2 days Jesus stayed with them, and many more believed because of his own word. John 4, verse 29, 41. When his disciples were driven from Jerusalem, the Samaritans welcomed them, and the Jewish converts gathered a precious harvest from among those who had once been their bitterest enemies. While Philip was in Samaria, a heavenly messenger directed him to go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he arose and went. He did not hesitate to obey, because he had learned the lesson of conforming to God's will. The baptism of the first person. From Africa. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. God saw that this Ethiopian of good reputation and wide influence would give others the light he had received, and would exert a strong influence for the gospel. Angels were with this seeker for light, and the Holy Spirit brought him in touch with someone who could lead him to the Savior.
The Holy Spirit directed Philip to go to the Ethiopian and explain the prophecy he was reading. "Go near," the Spirit said, "and overtake this chariot." Philip asked the official, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The scripture he was reading was the prophecy of Isaiah relating to Christ. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Isaiah 53, verse 7, 8. "Of whom does the prophet say this?" the official asked. "Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip, beginning at the same scripture, preached Jesus to him. The man's heart was thrilled, and he was ready to accept the light. He did not make his high position an excuse for refusing the gospel. As they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Angels still guide the footsteps of people. This Ethiopian represented a large class who need to be taught by such missionaries as Philip, people who will hear the voice of God and go where he sends them. Many who are reading the scriptures cannot understand their true meaning. All over the world, men and women are looking longingly to heaven. Prayers and tears and inquiries go up from hearts hungering for light. Many are on the brink of the kingdom, waiting only to be gathered in. An angel guided Philip to a man who was seeking light. And today, angels will guide workers who will allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify their tongues and ennoble their hearts. The angel could have done the work himself for the Ethiopian, but this is not God's way of working. It is his plan that we are to work for our fellow human beings. In every age, everyone who has received the gospel has been given sacred truth to share with the world. God's faithful people have always been aggressive, wisely using their talents in his service. The members of God's church are to be zealous, separating from worldly ambition and walking in the footsteps of him who went about doing good. They are to minister to those in need of help, bringing to sinners a knowledge of the Savior's love. Such work brings a rich reward. Those who engage in it will see people won to the Savior. Everyone who has received Christ is called to work for the salvation of others. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." Revelation 22, verse 17. The call to give this invitation includes everyone who has heard the invitation. Thousands who have heard the message are still sitting idly in the marketplace when they could engage in active service. To these, Christ is saying, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" And he adds, "You also go into the vineyard." Matthew 20, verse 6, 7. God has waited a long time for the spirit of service to take possession of the whole church. When the members do their appointed work in fulfilling the gospel commission, the whole world will be warned and the Lord Jesus will return to this earth with power and great glory. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24, verse 14.